8:31 on May the 5th, 2017. This is a conference call of the Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. We have a couple items to go over. We'll take item A, Columbia River Policy Guidance, and this is a discussion only. Take it away, Jim or whoever.
Well, I'll start out. This is Jim Unsworth. We've been plugging away on the Columbia River, actually functioning the system down there, and of course this is a very interesting spring. Fish passage seems to be a bit delayed. I just looked this morning, and yesterday we finally broke 836 fish over Bonneville, and it's been ramping up for the last 6 days. So fish are starting to move, but certainly the run update has not been complete. We did talk Columbia River at north of Falcon, and we settled on fall fisheries and a couple other things, but I'll turn it over to Jim Scott right now to kind of give more detail and briefing to where we're at on the fishery. And I think you all have probably received a briefing type paper from him this morning, or I hope you did.
We did.
Yeah. Right.
Mr. Scott.
Barbara Baker's here, by the way.
Good morning, Commissioner Baker.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'll try and move through this pretty quickly. Some of the high notes for you. Again, as Director Unsworth and Vice Chair Carpenter noted, what we're accomplishing today is to provide you an update on the status of the 2017 implementation, particularly the fall Chinook planning that was accomplished through north of Falcon, and then the status of the spring Chinook fisheries. And then second, also to provide the commission with an opportunity to further discuss and clarify any guidance that you'd like to provide to the department. Just to remind ourselves of a couple key things that we've been discussing over the last 3 months. One is the delegated authority, and as we all recall, the policy states Director will work with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to achieve implementation of this commission action in a manner that results in concurrent regulations between the two states. Director will consult with the commission chair if it becomes necessary to deviate from the commission's policy to achieve concurrent regulations with Oregon. That's in the delegated authority paragraph of the policy. We've had quite a bit of discussion about non-concurrent rules versus concurrent rules, and I think we would all agree that the best outcome is that the states have consistent policy direction and concurrent fishery rules. The definitely some challenges are introduced if we don't have concurrent rules in terms of enforcement, conservation, license reciprocity, whole bundle of things can make it really challenging if we don't have concurrent rules. That being said, in the past we have had some policy differences with Oregon. For example, a few years ago we had a 5% difference in allocation between the sport and commercial in Oregon versus Washington. But the states were able to find a way to manage through that policy difference to have concurrent rules. So with that, just kind of bring you up to date on the fall Chinook fishery planning. Again, that was one of the focus points for our North of Falcon process that concluded, 2 weeks ago now. And we did talk about preparation for the North of Falcon process with respect to Columbia River on our March 24th conference call. And at that time for the commercial fishery, we anticipated that it would be constrained by a very low B-run steelhead return. And in fact, that's exactly the way it planned out. The current season that's on the books calls for 6 days versus 13 actual days in 2016. And a projected 21% reduction in catch relative to the actual 2016 catch. the message there, I guess, is the planning verified our thoughts that we had on the March 24th call, and that those deep run steelhead were going to be very constraining for the commercial fishery.
Hey, Jim, this is Bob Kehoe. Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes, Steve.
On the late run or on the B run steelhead, I understand, you know, like you said, the forecast is low, but the B run steelhead can be and is updated in season, right? I mean, you're able to count those fish migrating past Bonneville.
That is correct. And in fact, last year, I believe I got my years right, we managed to have a slight increase in the in-season abundance estimate for the B-runs.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that and make sure everybody else knew that as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Also, this is Dave Graybill. A question on that, too. What sort of monitoring is planned for that particular fall run? I know that we are very interested in having intense monitoring of that particular fishery.
Yes, this is Jim Scott, Commissioner Graybill. That is part of the policy direction that the department received loud and clear during the policy development process. We are considering ways to make that monitoring as effective as possible, answering some of the key questions that we've got in front of us. And one of those key questions is how does the size difference between the B runs and the A runs affect the encounter rates in the gillnet fishery? So my long-winded answer is we're putting together that monitoring plan. We understand the importance of it, and maybe as we move down towards the season, if it would please the commission, we can have provide you an update on that later in the summer.
That would be really.
Jim, this is Commissioner Carpenter. Would it be possible to have sort of an initial briefing on what the strategy is for that observer monitoring program going forward? Because I know that during the discussion in the creation of the policy, it was found to be most important by my colleagues and myself.
Yeah, this is Jim Onsworth. Yeah, yes, we could do that, and I'd a briefing on the methods we propose using, you know, soon. So,
okay, that'd be great. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, I agree with that, Larry. I think that's a good thing to do.
This is Commissioner Thorburn. At this point, is it okay if I ask this question, Commissioner Carpenter? Sorry.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
At this point, is the plan to focus solely on the ESA-listed fish impacts, or is it bycatch in general? Because I ask that because bycatch in general comes up all the time when we're hearing our constituents talk about the effects of gill netting.
I guess if I might answer that, Kim, I think we want to know what stocks are being impacted, whether they're steelhead or shad or sturgeon. I mean, I think the information that we can gather over time going forward to make any adjustments in this policy as needed in the future, I think is incumbent upon getting good information.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear you say that, Larry. Thank you.
Any other comments on that point? I guess continue on, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair Carpenter. On the recreational fishery, again, as we talked about on our March 24th conference call, our intent was to attempt to secure recreational fishing seasons that met the guidance in the policy. And we were successful with that. And the seasons that we currently are planning are listed there under Bullet 2, Buoy 10 from August 1st to Labor Day, Tongue Point to Warrior Rock, a group of days from August 1st to September 7th are non-mark selective. September 8th to 14th are mark selective. And then the Warrior Rock to Bonneville Dam open from August 1st to October 31st. So those are the current seasons that we're planning for the recreational fishery. If you flip the page, you'll see an important note, and this is kind of building on one thing that Commissioner Kehoe noted. We ended the planning process with ESA impacts remaining for both Lower Columbia River Tules and Snake River Wild. And so that gives us the opportunity to potentially provide additional fishing opportunities during this fall time period. And, you know, obviously that will depend on how the abundances play out and how the encounter rates or catch rates play out in all the different fisheries. But that is a nice part of the result from the preseason planning process to date. We still got some impacts available to us.
Jim, this is Commissioner Carpenter. The one other item that's related to that during our negotiations on this policy was to try and get some real-time catch rates from both the recreational and the commercial fishery. Has there been any additional internal discussion about how that can take place in the spirit of trying to monitor the catch rates and make adjustments as needed?
I believe we need some local expertise here, but my belief is that for most of those fisheries, we in fact are monitoring catch in season. Now, particularly for the commercial fishery, we've got the catch by day from the ticket, and from the recreational fishery, we've got the on the water or shoreside estimates, creel estimates of catch.
Yeah, I recall the meeting in Vancouver when we brought that up. John Long was twitching in his chair with his new position a little bit, but it sounds like you've got it handled.
I believe so, though. I like to see John twitch. John, are you on?
Region 5, John. He should. Give him the message.
I will check in with Regional Director John Long on that.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah. If I could, then I'll move to the Lower Columbia River Spring Chinook fisheries. And as Director Unsworth noted up front, this has been an odd year. We've had very high water, very cold water, and we hope that means that the passage of the Spring Chinook through Bonneville Dam has been delayed by about 2 weeks at least. Because if it isn't delayed, we don't have many spring Chinook going up the river. Our biological staff are still fairly confident that those fish are going to show based upon our test fisheries in the lower river and the recreational fishery catch that we've seen. So we haven't seen many spring Chinook passing Bonneville Dam yet. We've got about 2 weeks for those fish to show up, or we're going to have some challenging management decisions ahead of us. A couple notes there on the catches in the fisheries to date. The recreational fishery in the lower river is now closed. It's with the mortality is near the what we call the early season limit, or the limit prior to the run size update. We've got about 6,549 mortalities versus 6,905 available. So we've a couple, I think we had at least 3 extensions to that fishery, and we're about where we'd like to be in terms of mortalities prior to the update and run size. The commercial fishery in the off-channel areas, they also are probably right on their schedule for impact rates. Been about 302 upriver spring Chinook impacts to date, out of an allocation of about 610. And they are, you know, probably roughly halfway through their season. So that's, again, more or less on track with expectations.
Could I ask, Jim, how is the safe area performing? How are the safe areas performing? I've heard that it's been pretty productive this year. So what's the big picture for the commercial fishery?
Yeah, Mr. Wecker, I don't have the exact numbers at the tip of my tongue. What I've heard is they're in the range of 80-85% of a typical year. So they're doing pretty well this year, as far as I know.
Okay. And is Oregon planning to move more fish into the safe areas from their hatcheries?
Yeah, that was part of the Oregon plan to continue enhancing or further enhance those off-channel areas. It's a way to, again, provide more economic benefits to the commercial fishery.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. So, Vice Chair Carpenter, if I could just move on then and talk about kind of the steps we see here in the next couple months, and then turn it over to the Director and the Commission for any further discussion.
Very good, Jim. Thank you.
Yep. So, as the Department moves forward with implementing this policy, Our discussions with Oregon obviously are going to continue to be guided by those policy provisions. And, you know, as I think about from a high level what the policy is directing us to do, number one is conservation, undoubtedly in my mind. Number two is making sure that we've got orderly fisheries, and there's two components of that. The concurrency with Oregon is important for orderly fisheries, and also limiting gear conflict between the recreational and the commercial fisheries. And then third, obviously we're trying to, within the first two, find fishing opportunities for both the recreational fleet and the commercial fleet. And that's kind of the high level guidance that I see in the Commission's policy, and not surprisingly, it also matches up with the mandate that the legislature has provided us. So as we move down the path of implementing the policy for 2017, we'll certainly have all of the provisions of the policy in mind. We're going to be looking to see if there are ways to extend that recreational fall fishery within the impacts that we've got available. We'll be closely monitoring that spring Chinook fishery and the abundance updates, again, to see if there's additional fishing opportunities available, or if we've got to take some unexpected actions because of a drop in the size of the run. And then just
Jim, can I ask you a question? This is Commissioner Baker.
Yes, Commissioner Baker.
Or I think I'm not sure who I ask if I can ask a question, but the question is you mentioned that there may be an opportunity to extend the recreational fishery in the fall depending on what happens in the spring.
is there any opportunity, especially given how odd this year is with the delay and the fish showing up, if the impacts aren't met, to move the impacts that aren't harvested upriver? That's actually the whole question.
Let me see if I have the question correct.
The reason I ask this question is that there are several people who, one of the ongoing concerns is the Snake River recreational fishery, and so I'm looking for ways as we're looking for ways to adapt to different conditions, if the fish aren't caught downriver, my question is, do we have the authority and ability, and is it a good idea to allocate any of those impacts upriver?
Yeah, Commissioner Baker, if I could answer the question. The policy, at least my understanding of it, does allow us to move recreational impacts from the lower river to the upper river if we find ourselves in a situation where we don't think they can be harvested in the lower river. And that we have done that in the past. And it, as you said, it could be a situation we find ourselves in this year with these really unusual conditions. But the one that I think is really gnawing at all of us is, are those fish really there? And it's not going to be for probably a week or two before we begin to understand that.
Okay. Thank you.
Vice Chair Carpenter, just have two more notes there, and one of them is actually a follow-up to Commissioner Baker. Got the schedule for the upper river fisheries, or the fisheries above Bonneville, at the bottom of the page. Don't want to forget about those because they are important to many of our stakeholders. And as Commissioner Baker pointed out, that Snake River spring chinook fishery is really just getting started. We want to make sure that we've got impacts available to allow them to have a spring chinook fishery as well.
Indeed. Yes, thank you, Jim. You you have a couple other items, you say, or is that pretty much it?
That's it. Appreciate it.
Okay. Do we have any additional discussion from the director, from the commissioners on this item A?
Yeah, I would like to bring up some thoughts that I received from some of the people who have been commenting to me. One, as Commissioner Baker suggested, is that we need to be fair to the people on the east side of the mountains. And that was one of the core concepts of our overall Columbia River reform policy, is that just historically, most of the harvest has taken place in the lower river. That isn't always fair. It hasn't been. And we tried to remedy that in our policy, giving more consideration to the eastern Washington fishers, who pay a lot of the license fees, I might add. One thought that was relayed to me was, could we shift the steelhead impacts, the B-run steelhead impacts that are so minuscule, can we move them over to the east side? And at the same time, open up some of the tule impacts that are still on the table into the lower river. Now, that was suggested to me. I don't have any idea how you do that, but I wanted to put that on the table because someone who's pretty knowledgeable raised that with me, and I'd like to hear what Jim Scott has to say in response. Is that a feasible thing to do?
I guess you have to ask Jim Scott.
Commissioner Wecker, I think we are looking very closely right now at ways to use our very limited steel impacts maximize the fisheries that we can implement. And our regional fish program managers are looking very closely at where the impacts occur, both in the lower river and then all the way through regions 1, 2, and 3. And so rather than me try and prejudge, what they'll come up with, I will say that we're looking at it very closely and trying to, again, to find a way to most effectively use those very, very limited impacts.
Okay.
This is Commissioner Grable. Yes, Miranda, that's been a concern for a long time, and I've been asked about the current catch balancing methodology that's being applied, which is heavily weighted to below Bonneville Dam. I think what you were referring to and on the east side is that 38% of the endorsement stamps are sold in eastern Washington, but only 25% of the returns, say on spring salmon, are allowed to the recreational fishers above Bonneville Dam. So that whole question is something that I've had discussions with the other regions and recently with John Long, and there's going to be ongoing discussions with the regional directors along the Columbia River, and also that I've and John has agreed that that needs to be to take place. But also, I think I'm going to ask for a presentation, a briefing to the commission on how the whole catch balancing methodology is applied so that we have a clear understanding of how it's being done currently and what we might consider going forward to make those policies more equitable.
I thought you would appreciate the thought.
Yeah.
I expected that you would be on board with this.
Yeah.
But that truly was part of our motivation when we adopted the reform policy, was an attempt to be more fair to Eastern Washington folks.
Dave, Commissioner Smith here, did you want to make that motion so it's on the agenda for the our meeting on the east side in June?
I would put it to Jim and the department if that gives them enough time to prepare for that.
If I might just suggest something here, it's historically we've tried not to take any more staff over, on these long extended trips than we have to for cost saving reasons. It might be more logical to do it the next time we're in Olympia. Just a suggestion.
Okay. No, that makes sense, Larry. Yeah.
And that's fine.
No.
Because there's nothing we're going to be able to do this year.
Right.
So that's something we could examine this year in advance of preparations for planning for the following season. So that's fine with me, Larry. And I agree.
That'd be great. I think that. I mean, I personally want to know more about that too. I keep hearing that terminology, and I don't understand it. To be candid with you.
Yeah, I think we all need to get an update on how that works.
This is Commissioner Thorburn. Regarding where it's presented, would it really require an increase in west side staff? Because it is an area of real interest to east side anglers. So, it might be, if it wouldn't really increase the cost a whole lot and it could be handled by maybe a couple of the east side directors, could it maybe be considered as an east side discussion? for our constituents?
This is Jim. I do not have a problem with having that discussion wherever the commission wants. My issue is just that we have enough prep time to do it. I think it could be best. It would be best done if I had, you know, two or three of the regional fish managers on board to give the presentation, and so just a matter of getting them together. But I have no problem where it's at. I think it would be interesting to Eastside folks. So we can do it wherever it fits, but the next commission meeting might be a bit close, but I think we're also having one in Clarkston and in what? September or August?
That's June.
Oh, that's June?
Yeah, Clarkston is.
It's early June.
We're having another one later, right?
No, that's in Port Angeles. I think this is our last East Side meeting.
That's
so right. Too soon, then. I guess
This is Commissioner Baker again. I do think I have a comment on the discussion that is on concurrence and the overall Columbia River policy, but I don't want to say anything until I've heard everything from everyone here. So is what we're talking about now, we've gotten, I'm sorry to maybe have thrown us off into the Eastside fisheries, but are we done with that conversation? Because I don't want to be.
Well, we don't need to be, Commissioner Baker.
No.
I mean, I was just asking for comments from staff and also from commissioners. No, we're still on agenda item A.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah, and I agree that we do need participation from all the regions that are impacted by fish passage on the Columbia River, and I think it may be difficult to schedule that for the June meeting, which is in very early June, too. But as long as it's on the as long as it's going to take place, I'm okay with having it in the following meeting, wherever that takes place, so that, and the purpose of this is really to get the commissioners up to speed on the whole concepts of catch balancing and also how fish allotments are being distributed on the Columbia River. And again, this is not going to affect this year's fisheries. So I think the following meeting will be fine, not the June meeting, but the one following.
I second the motion. Or Chair won a vote. So I second.
Director, we have agreement on that, I assume, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll provide the presentation whenever you want it, including June, if that's the decision.
I'll work with staff to make this happen either June or August.
Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks.
Mr. Baker, you said you had some additional comments or questions?
Well, this is sort of going back to the overarching policy and not the specifics of the catch balancing. I think on the conference call, we vested Director Unsworth with negotiating with Oregon to see if we can get to something that looked like concurrence for this year. And that's also, as Jim pointed out, in consultation with the chair of the commission. And so I'm still interested in how or whether those discussions are going to occur or what our position is on that. At that time, I thought maybe we should sit down with the Oregon Commission and talk it out. I think we agreed to do that, but turns out to be quite a bit bigger deal than I expected. So I wonder if that's going to happen. But the other thing, the real thing, is in reading the policy carefully, which it's very interesting for me to read this policy several times and have it become clearer and clearer each time I learn more. First off, I want to say that the policy seems to be very well written, and it also, there seems to be some success stories here in that more fish are coming back and we're being much more careful about how they're allocated. So the point that I'm trying to make is that the policy seems to have anticipated some of the issues that we're dealing with now. And at best, I'm looking at number 5D, which says that if alternative gear isn't developed, if off-channel areas aren't developed, and if other things come up that haven't happened during the transition period, that we can adapt. And so I was fairly clear in both the last times we've talked about this, but I don't really think it's fair to ask the director to negotiate and then in big public meetings define the negotiating parameters. I think that actually crimps his ability to negotiate. But I also think that this policy is very clear that concordance is important. And if we need to adapt to, for instance, in the spring, allowing tangle nets after the runs are calculated, I don't think that that's an impossible thing. I also think that looking at making expanded opportunities for the recs both in the fall or in the upriver, depending on in the spring, depending on the numbers, would be a way to balance out some of those puts and takes. But the main thing that I noticed when I looked at that policy is that many of the you all went through 4 years ago and carefully considered ways to mitigate the harm to the commercials, and that is the alternative gear and looking for funding for off-river channels for developing those and also a buyback. And from what I've seen, none of that has been resoundingly successful to date. So there may be some purchase in extending this transitional timing of this thing, not saying, oh, no, we're going to go back to the way it was, but say, well, we haven't exactly met our obligations either. Those things haven't happened, or if they have, nobody's told me that they have. So Director Unsworth, what I'm saying is that at least from my perspective, I would like to have you very clearly and carefully discuss these issues with the chair of the Oregon Commission. And I'd also like to know, you know, how they feel. And I do think that some of these allocations and some of these little adjustments can happen this year. And we don't necessarily have to wait to next year, both for spring and fall. So that's my whole point on the whole thing. And I would like to help work on obtaining some of the funding that we need. I mean, I assume that the reason that these things haven't happened or haven't happened successfully is that we've been in a terrible funding crisis for the last 7 years, and we frankly don't have the money to do everything that we set out to do.
Commissioner Baker, this is Commissioner Carpenter. That was a very good statement. I just want a point of clarification. We have delegated to the director to work with the Oregon director, Curtin Melcher, and not with the commission chair. I just want to is that what you, I assume that you're fine with that?
That's absolutely fine, and I assume that they have a similar situation than we do, where the Oregon director will be consulting with the Oregon Commission. But I sort of think it's our position to consult with them, and maybe we vest that authority in Commissioner Smith. But I think somebody should be talking to them, and then I'm actually fairly certain that somebody is, but I do know that it's not me.
I don't think that anyone on our commission is talking to anyone currently on their commission. There was a period of time that I was having a bi-monthly discussion with the Oregon Chair Finley, but that was several months ago, and there's been no additional communication.
And then we met collectively, several of us, with them, too.
Right, right. It's a couple of times, so.
Well, in
small groups of three, I think there were four commissioners from Washington, if I remember right, or three, and
right.
Three from Oregon. We did that a number of times.
Right. There is a point, too, I think, Commissioner Baker, to point out is that in Oregon, their adoption of the policy is by rule, where it's under state law, where our policy is purely a policy that we can deal with. internally. So there's a big difference in how this Columbia River policy is dealt with in Oregon versus Washington. We have a lot more flexibility, simply put. Am I correct in that, Jim Scott?
Hey, is that correct?
It's correct that we have a policy and they have a rule. I believe from our discussions with Oregon, they do have some flexibility for in-season management. I wouldn't want to say they have no flexibility.
Okay.
This is Jim Unsworth, and just so folks know, Kurt Melcher and I have had ongoing conversations, and fairly recently, actually. And right now, everyone's kind of waiting on these run updates because that's triggered to make a decision, which then puts us in the position of making further decisions on the rest of this. So that's right. What's going on right now.
Thank you. Larry, this is Bob.
Or Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to kind of cut to the chase here. I appreciate the discussion, but and this is, I think, kind of just so Commissioner Wecker and you, Larry, are kind of up to speed. You weren't at the Spokane meeting, but you know, part of the reason for this call was kind of the discussion that we had in Spokane, and I know Commissioner Thorburn brought it up as well. And the issue is this, is I was speaking with the director when we were together down at Sacramento at PFMC and kind of asked him, okay, you know, about the status of the of his discussions with the director of Oregon on the spring tangle net, and also kind of the allocation difference between Oregon and Washington on the fall Chinook. And the director indicated to me that he wasn't comfortable without more firm guidance from the commission on whether to, say that yes, Washington would go forward, or no, Washington would not go forward with a tangle net, provided that the update warranted such a fishery. So, but my point to him, and I will reiterate it, and also to the commission, and I will reiterate it today, is that in my view, I think as a business person, somebody that runs a business, and I think Larry and others that run a business would appreciate this, is people need to know kind of what to expect for purposes of planning. For example, I mean, if you're contemplating fishing a spring tangle net, you need to kind of be prepared if an update warrants it. So by just kind of delaying and not making a decision until the update is provided seems to me is unfair to everyone. Both commercial and recreational fishers. So, I think Commissioner Thorburn. I'll let Commissioner Thorburn speak her mind. But it seems to me that we should be able to tell people now: yes, we are going to have a tangle net if spring tangle net fishery, if the run update so provides, or we're not. So that's kind of where we're at. We need to give people a heads up so that they can plan. So that's kind of, I think, the issue. And my understanding is the purpose of this call today.
So,
that's all I have. Thank you.
This is Commissioner Thorburn, and I think it was I who actually initially raised this at the Spokane meeting. And yeah, it was... my concern regarding the timing that we were presented the decision would be made, which came to be, well, we'll just wait for the update. And I think Bob articulated well my concerns in terms of being fair and transparent to our constituents in a timely fashion. And then I also was concerned, well, you know, I really agree with Commissioner Baker's statement, you know, that we don't want to constrain the director in any way with a firm decision, but I was concerned that we commissioners were all kind of interpreting the policy a bit differently and not really providing the director with sort of a unified agreement on what the policy says. And I really appreciate the briefing that you put together today for us, Jim Scott, because it draws out key features of the policy that hopefully bring us commissioners together in terms of kind of the direction that we're providing to the director.
This is Commissioner Grayville. I respect what Commissioner Kehoe has to say on this. Every year, the commercial industry has to wait for the updates to know whether or not they're going to fish or not. So in that respect, it's not that much different situation. You know, the question of whether or not there'll be an entanglement fishery, again, I don't want to constrain the director with his negotiations with Oregon.
If Commissioner Kehoe and Thorburn are asking for the positions of various of all of us to be articulated now, I'm happy to do that. I am not in favor of a tangle net fishery in the spring, and certainly not raising expectations for it now, given the low returns over the dam. We're in no position to raise that expectation. But I also think that it's important to stay true to our intent in the original policy of moving the commercial fishery off the mixed stock, moving the nets off the main stem where the mixed stock and the listed runs are. So I am not in favor of tangle net fishery in the spring. That's my position.
I'm going to give you my position. This is Commissioner Carpenter's, maybe a little slightly coming out of a different field, but Jim Scott, I want to make sure I understand one issue as it relates to the spring Chinook numbers this year. This is currently the lowest return in history, yes?
The passage at Bonneville is very low. I'm not sure it's the lowest return in history, but it is very low currently.
Okay, someone told me that. That's good enough. My position on this issue as it relates to the tangle nets is 2 points. One, the intent of the policy was to remove non-selective gear from the main stem of the river. I'm not going to go into any more details on that, but I feel from my position and my involvement in this creation of this policy over the last 4 or 5 years, we delegated the authority to Director Unsworth. And I hope and expect that he'll make the right decision. I don't know that that 8 or 9 or 7 or however many on the call today are going to to try and get in his head over that. I think we have to let him do his job. That's my opinion.
Yeah, Commissioner Carpenter, Commissioner Smith.
Commissioner Smith, please.
I would second your comments there. I think there are some unknown variables right now that are kind of disturbing to see, and I wouldn't be in a position today to make a definitive decision until some of those variables are better known on the runs, and also to put too much interference or into the process of the letting the director make the decisions.
So this is Jim. I'm good with that. We'll watch this very closely and provide you with some updates just on run size every few days. The whole commission, we could do that. That I think would be helpful for everyone. And it's pretty dynamic right now. Like I said to start this, it appears to me fish are starting to move. So. If the hydrograph allows that and the water temperatures allow it, and we'll see. Well, it's just kind of one of those deals. We'll have to
just
see.
A quick question on that, Director. What is the spread on the water temperature now? I mean, what's the from years previous? Is it significant or just mild?
I do not know the answer to that.
What I saw a week ago, Brad, it was pretty significant, but I guess I can't quantify that. If I stepped on your toes, I apologize. I'd like to hear from Jim Scott, I think, if he knows. The what's the test fishing program for the lower river? I'm assuming you have some type of a gillnet fishery or a tanglenet test fishery, and how often does that operate per week, and do we have some historic trends, and we obviously we're comparing those to this year, I assume, in some fashion?
Yes, Vice Chair Carver, it's Jim Scott. The test fishery, we've had, it seems like 6 or 7 days since March. Most recently, down in the Cathlamet Channel, the test fishery catches have been, I'll say, consistent with the run size prediction that we had pre-season, but they're in no way definitive. There's just a lot of variables that affect the catches of the gillnet fishery itself. So we've concluded from the test fishery to date is that there is no reason to panic yet. There are fish in the lower river. The abundance or the catch rates seem consistent with the preseason projection. But we now need to see some fish moving over Bonneville Dam.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Jim.
Hey, Larry, this is Bob again.
Yeah, Commissioner Keel.
Yeah, thank you. And I don't want to belabor the point, but maybe I didn't make myself clear enough, and that often happens. but I'm not asking... I'm not asking for the department to move forward with a tanglenet fishery in the spring. No, I'm not asking that. Simply what I'm asking is the question, and I've heard the answer, but just so that people understand what my issue is, my question is, if things improve, if there is an in-season update that provides for a fishery, we don't know if that's going to happen yes or no today, but it seems to me, and again, and I respect the comments of the other commissioners, it seems to me we should be able in a position to say yes, we would, or no, we're not going to go forward with a tanglenet fishery. I'm not asking for one now, just simply, simply to put our fishers in a similar position to our our fishers, our commercial fishers that just happen to be on the other side of the border. They know that if there is an update, that they will have a tangle net fishery. Our fishers today don't know the answer to that question. That's just the issue as best as I can sum up. So, thank you.
And I'll just thank you, Bob. I've been sitting here thinking the same thing. That is articulating exactly what I was trying to say.
Well, and this is Commissioner Baker. As long as we're fine-tuning, that is exactly, I believe that's how I feel as well. And to take it one step further, I think that that is anticipated in the policy. And that's what I was trying to say in the earlier little discussion. And that is what I was worried about, what I've been worried about ever since I started on the commission, is that to take a position one way or the other would be to blow up the policy, and I support the policy. But I think that the policy itself has built-in safeguards for odd years, and the fact that we haven't been able to achieve some of the other objectives in the policy, which, as I understand them, were to mitigate its impacts on the commercial fishery. So I agree with Commissioners Kehoe and Thornburn, and also would like to say that it's, respect may be too minimal of a word. It's very interesting, and I really enjoy listening to the different opinions stated on these calls and in person when we talk.
Any other comments by anyone?
Well, just one, Commissioner Carpenter, you asked about the returns this year, and it was quoted in the Seattle Times that this is the lowest return on record at this date and time. Okay.
All right.
Also, I wanted to mention, too, that the Fish Passage Center is available to people. It's simply fpc.org. And that gives you a daily report on the fish passage. And if commissioners would like to look at that and look at the daily reports and also the graph at this time, it's pretty dismal.
David, did you say Frank, Paul, Charlie? Is that what you said, .org?
Well,
yes.
Maybe Tammy could send that out to us.
That would be great, indeed. Yeah, thank you, Brad.
I will do that.
Okay, unless someone hasn't, go ahead.
I have another question before we leave the Columbia
Move on.
River.
Okay.
During our last conversation, I asked about whether staff knew Oregon's long-term intent in adopting some changes to our original policy. And specifically, what I wanted to know is, have they abandoned any further moves towards greater selectivity in the commercial fishery? And I don't think anybody could answer that question, but I was wondering if they can answer that. The staff have gotten any insights into Oregon's intent, and I also wanted specifically to understand how much more is there still an ongoing commitment to developing more selective gear. Are we giving up on the purse seine and beach seine and other potential more selective gears, or is the research going to continue in Oregon supporting that research?
Vice Chair Carpenter, would you like me to respond?
Yeah, please, Jim.
Yes, Commissioner Wecker, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife continues to believe that development and implementation of herded select gear is a good route forward. It's a way, not only is it in our policy, it's a way for fisheries to access the hatchery fish, which is a good thing. It's a a way to reduce PFAS levels after responding fish in the river. So it's continues from our perspective to be a route that we need to invest in and pursue. And on the Oregon side, I believe they are also supportive of that. I need to check their rules and commission discussion to see if there's anything explicit in they have explicit commitments they have made. But at least in my conversations with staff, I have not heard any backing away of a long-term recognition that alternative selective gear is important.
That's good news to me.
Thank you, Jim.
One more thing I wanted to bring up. When we were talking about having a briefing on the catch sharing for the Columbia River, I think it would be a great idea at the same meeting to have a briefing on the long-term Columbia River recovery plans. Because I don't think I've heard a briefing on that in many, many years, but I do vaguely remember the briefing. I think it was Bill Twite who gave it to us something like 8-9 years ago. And it was very, very interesting. And I think it would be a good part of the large picture context for people to understand what the recovery, the ESA recovery plans call for in the Columbia River and the time scale that they operate on.
I think that would link up pretty well, Miranda, with the catch balancing discussion, to be honest with you. So, Director, can you put that on your screen for the meeting that will deal with that?
Yes, I added that to the other item.
Commissioner Thorburn, just a couple of quick things. There was a blue sheet on ESA-listed stocks, including recovery, that I think staff is working on. I'm not sure when that's scheduled, but Columbia River stocks were mentioned. And
that's correct.
Yeah. So I think that's sort of underway, not maybe as specific as Miranda has stated it. My second point, just real quickly before we leave this, is Commissioner Baker brought up that on the March 27th conference call, we did talk about having a meeting with the Oregon Commission. That is challenging, I understand. However, it has happened in the past, and I just would be one commissioner who would request that we keep that on the table, please. I think it might be nice to just kind of schedule it when we're not real involved in the Columbia River policy, and kind of some of the emotion and everything has dissipated, but just to be able to sit down and recognize that we do have joint responsibility and talk to one another about it. So I hope that stays on the table.
Good point.
I agree. This is Bob.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. We've had a lot of difficulty matching up schedules with Oregon, even when it was the work groups on the initial discussions on this policy 4 or 5 years ago. We had a heck of a time, as Jim Scott recalls. But I think the idea is good, and all we can do is keep it on the table and push for some successful get-together at some point. So. All right, if I hear no further objection on Agenda Item A, Columbia River Policy Guidance Discussion, I would like to bring that item to closure.